series that we're doing. But I'm going to do it a little bit different today. There were several questions that were asked in a particular area. So I'm just going to take that area and I'm going to teach on that for a little while today. Is that okay? I want to start with a story. And this happened in the Sudan. Now we have water well. We have a water well in the Sudan. So this, we do have a connection with this story. And there's a guy, his name was Kevin Carter. And Kevin Carter was a journalist, a photojournalist. And in 1994, he went to Sudan to photograph what was going on over there. There was a lot of poverty, a lot of just bad, bad stuff going on over there. And he took a photograph, and that photograph that year won the Pulitzer Prize. And I want to show you that picture. And this is not a picture that you're going to like to see, but I want to show you this picture. Let me get out of the way so you can see it. This is the picture that he took of a starving child that was trying to get to where an organization was feeding. It was several hundred feet away, starving. And you can see the picture. It just says a lot. He took this picture, and it won the Pulitzer Prize that year. 3 months later, Kevin Carter was so depressed that he took his own life. People see things like this, and they ask the question, if there's a loving God, why does he let stuff like this happen? And we had several questions that were asked about evil and the devil and how did the devil sin or where did that come from? All of those kind of things. So I just kind of wanted to deal with that today. And there's really two things that a lot of unbelievers struggle with. And this is one of them. If there's a loving God, why does he let stuff like this happen? And that is, honestly, that's a good question. Have you ever had questions about these kind of things? And I think that if we're honest, that we have seen some things sometimes that made us question in our own heart. Now, we may have reconciled that. We may have dealt with that. We may have gone to the Word of God and got our answer. But there's some things that we just don't have total insight into. And there's a lot of people who say that God does not exist because if God existed, then he wouldn't let this kind of stuff happen. So this raises a dilemma. And different worldviews, different religions have dealt with this question in different ways. Now the pantheist, you know what a pantheist is? That pantheist believes that God is the creation. There's no personal God. God is the earth. God is the sky. God is the stars. God is the creation. Which, I mean, logically, that does not make a bit of sense at all. But the pantheists, they believe that. And pantheists are like Taoism, Hinduism, a lot of our Native American, the Indians, they were, a lot of them were pantheist. And they deal with this problem of God and evil. They affirm God, but they deny evil. They just say it doesn't exist, that it's an illusion, that it's not real. And then you have the atheist who affirm evil but deny God. And then you have the theist, which basically there's three religions in the world that are theist, and those are the Jews, the Islam, and Christianity. And theists affirm both God and evil. And that's, so a lot of people in the world, they say, well, there's no God because there's evil. They affirm evil, but they deny God. And then the others say, well, there's a God, but really there's no evil. It's just an illusion. It's just a state of mind. Well, we know better than that. So if we're honest as believers, we believe in God and we know that evil exists. But how do we reconcile things like this picture? And there's a lot of people who have left the faith, denied the faith, because of this problem with evil. So I wanted to go back into the Word of God, and I wanted to look at some things. And I want to tell you, first of all, I'm not an expert about this, and I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to answer all your questions. It may raise some questions, and I love it when I raise questions, because I hope that you'll go to your Bible and start looking for answers. I'm not here to answer all your questions. I'm here to try to create a hunger in you that takes you to your Bible, that causes you to become a student of God's Word. First of all, I want to define evil. Evil is a real lack or corruption of a good thing. Evil does not exist in itself, only in the thing or substance, and all things God made are good. Okay, let's say that again. Evil is a lack or corruption of a good thing. Who made all good things? Y'all help me a little bit, okay? God made all good things. So what is evil? Evil is a lack or a corruption of something that is good. Without good, evil can't even be. Evil does not exist within itself. Evil has to do with a lack or a corruption of a good thing. Now, I want to read a verse of Scripture found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 30. We're going to have these up on the... We're going to look at several verses today. We're going to have this up on the screen for you. Then God looked over all he had made, and this is in the garden, and saw that it was, help me out here, very good. And the evening passed and the morning passed, marking the sixth day. So again, evil is a lack or a corruption of a good thing. It does not exist within itself, only in a thing or a substance, and all things were made by God. God made all things good. God did not make things evil. He made all things good. Evil comes in when there is a lack of that good or a corruption of that good. Now, the word evil in the Hebrew is the word ra, and it comes from another word, and it means, and this goes right in with the definition that we're talking about, to spoil by breaking into pieces, to make good for nothing. In other words, what is it? You have good, and that good is spoiled by breaking, and it causes something to become good for nothing. That's how evil exists. Now, let's talk a little bit about the origin of evil, okay? Say, so, well, did God make evil? No, God made everything good. So how did evil get here? If God didn't make it, how did it get here? And we're going to look at, because we know where it comes from by reading in Genesis where we read about the serpent. Remember the serpent? Now, when did he fall? He fell sometime before the creation of man. We don't know. We don't know the time span. We don't understand all of that. There's lots of debates about all of that. And that's another discussion that we're not going to get into today. But he fell sometime before the creation of man. Okay? And we're going to look and see how that happened. There's only one thing that could have caused Lucifer to fall. to fall. There's three possibilities. Number one, it was uncaused. Number two, it was caused by somebody else. Number three, it was self-caused. Okay, now we know everything has a cause. There is nothing that has ever been made that's not been made without a cause. Something caused everything. You know, atheists will tell us, basically, that something came into existence out of nothing, and nothing brought it into existence. Well, that logically, that doesn't even make sense. We believe that something made something out of nothing. Atheism teaches that nothing made something out of nothing. And that's just logically impossible. We believe that something, God, made something, creation. Now, we know that he made it out of things that do not appear, or we could say nothing. Faith-filled words brought those about. If you read Genesis, you can see how that came to pass. So everything has a cause. So we know that Lucifer's fall was not uncaused. Now, we know that God did not cause Lucifer's fall. Now, there's people who teach that God designed Lucifer to fall. Okay? But how can God create everything good and then cause it to fall? That doesn't make a lot of sense. We believe that Lucifer, that his fall was self-caused. And we're going to get into some of this in a minute. But we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Now, I'm trying to answer some questions that were turned in. So stick with me here. I think we need to have a firm foundation of the Word of God here. O shining star, son of the morning, you have been thrown down to the earth. Now, Jesus referred to this verse of Scripture in the Gospels. He says, I saw Lucifer fall from heaven like lightning to the earth. Okay? You have destroyed the nations of the world, for you said to yourself, I will ascend to the heavens and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountains of the gods, far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. This gives us a little insight into the cause of Lucifer's fall. Now, who was Lucifer? He was one of the main angels that God created. Now, do angels have the ability to choose? This is a good question. We answered that, and the answer is yes. Evidently, they have the ability to choose because he chose to exalt himself above God. Now, who caused him to do that? Nobody caused it. Something caused it. Did God cause it? Scripture tells us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. So why would God cause something to go against him? Because when you divide a house, it can't stand. So the only solution here is that it is self-caused. And we're going to find out, I'm going to say this and I'll explain it a little bit, that choice becomes the culprit. The ability to choose becomes the culprit. Are you with me? Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. Son of man, sing this funeral song for the king of Tyre. Now, Bible scholars tell us that this is talking about Lucifer, okay? Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. Okay, and this is why we believe that. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every special stone. And it goes on, it tells all of that. All beauty crafted for you and set in the finest gold. They were given to you on the day you were created. I ordained you and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created. Now, this question. Did God create Lucifer good? That's what we just read. He said, I designed you. I set you up as an angel. I anointed you. I created you. You were, you know, you had all of this. You were full of wisdom. You were beautiful. But did he have a choice? Yes, because we see that he exercised this choice. Remember in Isaiah it says, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. I will do this. You know, I gets us in trouble a whole lot, okay? You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Your rich commerce led you to violence and you sinned. So how did Lucifer fall? Was it uncaused? No, because everything has a cause. Was it caused by someone else? No. Was it self-caused? Yes, it was. It was self-caused. Okay, so that's how evil came into being, and it had to do with a being having the ability to make choices. Okay? When God made man, did he give him choices also? If we had time and we could go and we could read the chapter in Genesis, how that God created everything, and every day he said, and God looked and it was good. The first day he said, the second day he says, it was good. Does good mean evil? No. It was made good. What is evil? It is a lack of good. It is the corruption or the spoiling of something that is good. Okay? That's what evil becomes. What we saw on this picture is evil. Okay? That is not the way God designed things to happen. Something caused things like this to happen. And we're going to look at this from this perspective. But everything that God did in the garden, he made it good. And when he got to day six, he summed it up and he says, he looked at everything and he did, and it was very good. The way that it was designed to meet the needs of the creatures that he had created. And the one thing that he had made in his own likeness and image, it was made to take care of every need. No lack. No lack. None. God is not the God of lack. Can I get an amen? Are y'all out there today? Okay. I like a little feedback sometimes. He's not the God of lack. He's the God that's more than enough. He's the God of abundance. Who he is makes him that way. Okay? And his design and his creation is designed for that. In fact, he made most everything in the earth to replenish itself as it was being used, that it would replenish. It was very good. Was man very good? Yes. Man was created in that he looked at it and said, it is very good. And you know, go to Genesis 2:15. It says, the Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden that was good to tend it and to watch over it, to take care of it, to cultivate it, because it was designed to produce abundance. But the Lord warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Now, what is death? Is it a lack? Yes. He did not design death as a part of man's destiny. Okay? That was not his intent in the garden. In fact, if Adam would have eaten of the tree of life in the garden instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would have been preserved eternally in that perfect state, having a human body that would replenish itself. It wouldn't have any death in it. There would have been no dying. There would have been no sickness. There would have been no disease. There would have been no lack. There would have been no poverty. God did not design creation for it to deplete itself. That's just not the way that He is. He's God of more than enough. But He says, I'm giving you this choice. Choice. That, we're back to that word again, choice. One of the words that we use is a free moral agent. We have the ability to choose. He told the children of Israel one time, He says, today I call heaven and earth against you. Today I set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. Choose life that you may live. But you can choose death. What did man choose? He chose death, didn't he? He chose to disobey God, to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happened at that point? Lack began to take place first within his own self. Lack within his own spirit began to take first place. And from the inside to the outside, this spoiling or corruption we know and as defined as evil began to take place. See, a lot of times when we use the word evil, we just think of somebody committing a sin. A sin is the result of it's a byproduct of this definition of evil. The lack or the corruption of a good thing. God did not intend man to sin. Man chose to go that route. And God says, if you do that, you shall surely die. Now, He didn't die physically that day. But the principle began to be set in motion that day. And everything around Him began to change. And it started with His own heart. Now we're going to look at some other things here. Here's some of the results of His sin. This is right before the flood, Noah's flood, in Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. This is when He puts him out of the garden. He says, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out and take the fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. Now, after they sinned, if they would have partaken of the tree of life, they would have lived forever in that fallen state. And that wouldn't be good. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden and sent Adam out to cultivate the ground which He had made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and He placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. He was going to make sure that they could not get to that tree of life. They couldn't partake of it. Something had to happen. Now, do we get to partake of the tree of life? Do we? Who is the tree of life? Jesus is the tree of life. They could not partake of Him at that point. In fact, they were guarded. That tree of life was guarded so they couldn't get to it because He didn't want them preserved eternally in that state. So things begin to happen. We know that the very first son of Adam and Eve killed his brother. And as things rock on, this has to do with the flood in Genesis 6:5. It says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and He saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. They totally went the wrong way. They were so full of evil, which is lack of good. They chose to go away from God, and evil gives birth to worse and worse and worse and worse. What happens in a society where evil runs amok? Does it get better? Does it eventually get better? If something doesn't happen in that society to turn it around, it destroys itself. Evil is destructive. It continues in a death spiral until it kills everything around it. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His love. He could have left mankind in this state, and He would have been totally justified to do so. Let me challenge you that as you read the Old Testament, sometimes the Old Testament is tough to read. But let me assure you that the motivating factor of God all through the Old Testament was grace. He wanted to show grace. He had to deal with sin, but His heart was grace. And He gave warning. He would send prophets into societies and say, you know what, unless you repent, the results of evil are going to come upon you. And if they did not repent, the results of evil and judgment came on them. But if, you know what? If they repented, God worked a miracle. God worked a miracle. And they were, and that evil was averted. That judgment was averted. But God looks at man and He sees that they're totally evil. Their imagination, their thoughts is totally evil. So He destroys the earth. And then this is right after the flood. Genesis 8:21. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to Himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent towards evil from childhood. From childhood? That says from childhood. See, we're born with sin nature. We're born with it. I will never again destroy all living things. And He was talking about like with a flood, okay? He says, I won't do it anymore. He says, I did it now, but I'm not ever going to do that again. That sounds like grace. Something fixing to happen. Okay. Here's God's attitude towards sin. This is Psalms 5:4. Oh God, You take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. So how do we deal with this dilemma of evil? Did God make it possible? Yes. He made evil possible by creating free creatures. And we, as free creatures, are responsible for making evil actual. Now, God claims responsibility, but actually, we're the ones that brought evil about by our disobedience. You say, well, if it hadn't have been for Adam. Well, let me ask you something. Let's don't be so hard on Adam. Have you sinned? Haven't we all sinned? Romans 5 describes this. Romans 5:12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. God, how did it get here? It entered through Adam. It entered through his choice. Now, he didn't know that he was releasing evil. He just chose not to obey God. He moved away from good. What happens when we move away from good? Can you move away from good? What happens when you sow seeds that are not good seeds? What happens when you sow seeds that are good seeds? Good things happen. We can move towards good. We can move away from good. Man chose to move away from it, and it brought about death on all mankind. Now, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for this amazing grace that we sang about a while ago. Because only through Jesus Christ do we have hope. Amen. Now, let's raise a couple of questions here. We got to start winding this down. Why can't God just totally destroy evil? If He totally destroyed evil right now, He would totally destroy freedom. He would totally destroy choice. Are we still free moral agents? You know why you're a Christian? Let me tell you why you're a Christian. God sought you. God brought His grace to you. A few weeks ago, we started talking about telling your story, having you reflect on your story and write your story. I wanted you to see that how the grace of God was presented to you. But you know what? When the grace of God came to you, you had a choice. I wish we could make people get saved. You know, God doesn't even do that. But if God totally wiped out evil, He would have to wipe out choice. And that's not His way. We are part of the thing that makes us like God is that we are free moral agents, that we can choose. So if God wipes out evil, He has to wipe out choice. You say, I know He's going to wipe it out someday. Yeah, He is. He really is. Whoa. Hallelujah. Is that a sign? I'm in the dark. Okay. Just a little power surge is all we had there. They'll get us up and running. Some of you went to sleep. Please don't do that again. Okay. All right, I'm glad. If God totally destroyed freedom, He would also destroy the possibility of all moral good, because moral choices are free choices. They're not program choices, they're free choices. Morality is something that we choose. You choose to be morally or immoral. It has to do with our choice. That is by God's design. Well, why doesn't God force us to love Him? Yeah. Think about this. What do we call love when a man forces love on a woman? Is that love? We call that a violation, don't we? Why? Because she did not choose to do that. And if God chose, if God forced us to love Him, it would be akin to that. I love something C.S. Lewis says, that God cannot ravish, only woo. That God cannot ravish. God does not rape us with His love. He woos us into a loving relationship with Him. That's by His design. That's what He chose to do. Now, there's only two kinds of people in the earth. There are those who say to God, "Thy will be done." Or those who God says to them, "Thy will be done." When we come to the end of life, your choice will be carried out. If you have chosen Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're saying to Him, "Lord, Your will be done." And you know what He's going to do? He is going to carry that out. If you reject Christ, "Oh, I'm a good person, I'll go to heaven," but you reject Christ, at the end of life, He's just going to say, "Your will be done. Depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." It's choice. It's what we choose. Will there ever be a time where there's no evil? Yes. I want to read it to you as we get ready to close. It's found in Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne says, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." There is a time coming where evil will be destroyed. You say, is that a violation of our will? Absolutely not. Let me ask you a question. I know that we as Christians, we miss it. But do you desire to do evil? Do you want evil to be in your life? No. So at the end of life, those who say to God, "Thy will be done," you know what? He's going to do that to perfection, and he will destroy evil, and evil will no longer be a possibility for the redeemed. You ought to shout about that a little bit. That's part of what we have looking forward to. Can we explain everything that happens in the earth now? Do we have all the answers to the picture that we saw? It's evil. It's a lack of good. And it came about because of a choice that a man made 2,000 years ago. And every man since that has made the same choice that has opened the door for evil to work. But rest assured that the time is coming that God will rectify all things. He will justify all things. And all of these things will be gone forever. And those who know him will be perfectly redeemed. And those who do not know him will be cast into outer darkness. He'll say to them, "Your will be done." You won't be part of this because you did not choose to be part of this. You will be given to that lack, to that evil. But for those who have chosen me, it's going to be glorious. Amen. Let's pray. We're going to do this a little different today. You may be here today and you need to receive Christ into your life. You need to say to God, "Your will be done in me. I'm tired of lack. I'm tired of all of this stuff in my life. I choose you." Now, that's not going to make you perfect, but it's going to set you on the course of God's amazing grace. And I just want to pray a prayer today. Not going to ask you to respond. I'm just going to let you pray a prayer right where you're at. You say, "Will that work?" Yeah, it worked for me. I prayed a prayer at a funeral. Got saved at a funeral. You can pray a prayer anywhere. But I want to pray this prayer, and I want to pray for you, if that's you. And I want you to just open your heart to God. And I want you to just invite Jesus into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him into your life. Ask him to make you a new creature. And tell him that you'll live for him. Father God, we thank you today. Holy Spirit, I know that you're at work right now in hearts and lives all over this place. Those that don't know you, or maybe those who have a strained relationship with you. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness as people open their lives to you to receive that forgiveness. Today, Lord, we want to choose you. Lord, I've known you for over 40 years, but today I want to choose you afresh and anew today in my life. I want your will to be done in me even more than it has already been. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. We praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here today. Next week, I'm going to do some teaching about grace. I've had a couple of questions about falling from grace. So we're going to deal with the thing of grace. And so I want you to come prepared. I know evil is not a great subject, is it? But I think we need to understand about it because we get messed up about it. So let's. I pray that this answers some questions and raises some questions for you. And go to your Bibles and begin to read. Amen. Thank you for being here today. You're dismissed.